with possibility at Babby's house. Babby's house, everybody is family. Oh, welcome to Babby's house.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Babby's House on the radio. And I'm so happy that you've taken time out of your busy day to enjoy a wonderful conversation with a phenomenal artist who is just one of the most creative people I've ever met. Wanda Obermeyer is an author. She is an award-winning author, and we'll talk about some of the awards that she has received for her writings. And she's also a songwriter, and she has written a children's book called Mama Bird, Papa Bird. And it is a beautiful story with great illustrations, by the way. We'll talk about how you can pick this book up and enjoy it, not just for your children, but also for any adults who love reading children's books. And that certainly includes me. So let me welcome to Babby's House on the radio, Wanda Obermeyer. Wanda, I'm so happy to see you today.
Hi, Babby. It's been years.
It has been so many years. And you and I met back in the day at the Christian Artists Music Seminar in the Rockies. You're a songwriter, and both of us have pursued songwriting with a vengeance. I mean, just with so much passion. And that is, I think that's one of the things that describes your inspiration and your artistry and your work ethic. You are extremely passionate.
Thank you.
We will get into all of that. But first, let me congratulate you on your book, Mama Bird, Papa Bird.
Thank you.
Yes. And I want you to tell us about the book and how it was inspired.
Well, Mama Bird, Papa Bird came because I one day had an empty nest. And my son moved away from Wisconsin to Georgia. And I just bowed my head in front of my computer and I said, Lord, what am I going to do now? And I started writing the words, once upon a time, there was a papa bird and a mama bird. And from then on, I wrote the entire book sitting at the computer. And when I reread it, I realized I probably wrote a song because it lasted like 3 minutes. So that's how the book actually started.
I love this subject because I'm an empty nester. You know, I'm an empty nester. And sometimes, you know, that little birdie that flew away, they come back to the nest.
Oh, yes.
They do, right?
Oh, yes. That'll be book three or four.
Yes. They come back to the nest. And it's interesting that our youngest son went to L.A. for 14 years, and he has come back to the nest. But in this mama bird's heart, I know that that's only temporary. Because he's an adult and, you know, this is kind of a temporary roosting place, so to speak. But I know that the kind of person that he's an adventurous person. And I know that his wanderlust, you know, will take him off to another adventure and I'll have another empty nest. So this resonates with me. And I'm sure that it resonates with a lot of empty nesters.
It is pretty universal.
Yes, it is.
That when that happens to the home, something shifts in the universe. And what shifted in our universe was that our son actually moved and met his wife, got married, and one day called and said, hey, guess what? We're having a baby. And I went, oh, I need to finish that book. It was on my computer. But that is literally when I finished the book, because my thought was, this baby needs something good to read that has morals and virtue. So I finished the book, and it was the first book I got to read to my grandbaby.
Oh.
And
that speaks to my heart.
And then it opened up a whole new world of, okay, there's a lot of people who are first-time grandmamas and grandpapas out there, this is going to resonate with them as well. And that's when I got my first award, the Ben Franklin Silver Award, and soon after the Mom's Choice Award. And then God blew so much more revelation into my mind about how universally true this book was, because I had prayed and asked God to give me material that was universal. I wanted it to connect with every believer or not yet believer on earth. And that's Mama Bird, Papa Bird.
Well, that's really the jumping off point for writing a great book or writing a great song. It's got to be universal. It's got to appeal to the masses, right? It can't just appeal to us in our little world.
Right. It's not always about me, you know.
Okay.
It's about you too, and them, and they, and yeah.
As a writer, we know that we're going to put our, if we are a commercial writer, that means we put our books and our songs out there where people can access them. And the songs in the books have to appeal to the masses, and it has to be commercial, meaning it has to be worthy of our, of us putting our, you know, $14.95 or our $19.95 on the table, on the product table, or online, or wherever great books and music are sold, quote, end quote. And that's not just connected to commercialism, it's connected to ministry. If you want your book to resonate with people, if you want it to speak to the heart, it's got to be worth us picking it up. So it has to have that value. So with that in mind, I want you to talk to me about what makes a really good children's book, because we think, well, children are kind of down to earth. They're kind of simple. And so, you know, it's no big deal. It's no big deal to writing a children's book, but that's really not the right approach necessarily. What goes into writing a really good children's book?
I am so glad you asked that, because as a mom and a grandma, I am about speaking life and truth into people, no matter how young they are. I taught 3 and 4 year old Sunday school. And the thing that I observed, I mean, the Bible says that even a child will be known by his or her doings. So children believe the words that adults speak, hook, line, and sinker. And I'm not going to get into, you know, do we teach Santa Claus or the Easter, but that's immaterial. But what is truth is so important, because that truth does not come back void. So in my attempt to write children's books, I want to speak the truth. Now, I know there's entertainment. I know there's a time for, you know, all these things on TV that, you know, are on TV that are not necessarily truthful characters. But see, if we're going to teach kids Sunday school and teach them about, say, David, we're teaching truth. We're not teaching just a character from a book, okay? Now, in my books, even though Mama Bird, Papa Bird, I mean, there are birds in reality, so we can say birds are real, but we also have things called fables that teach truth. And I was very influenced by the Aesop's fables and the things that came from those books, you know, where there is a will, there is a way, you know, and things like that. And so I wanted to write fable-like stories, but I also wanted to bring in biblical truth into the story. So Mama Bird, Papa Bird, the essential truth is God created them male and female, and he said it was good. That's the overlying message of Mama Bird, Papa Bird.
Well, let me ask you this concerning your book and other children's books. Is it always important that children's books have a moral?
Well, for me, it is. I mean, because what's the point to read? I mean, yeah, for me, exactly. You know, entertainment can be just that, entertainment. You know, we've got princess stories and, you know, we've got all those, you know, Disney, everything out there. But for me, if a child can come away with a takeaway that is morally truthful, that's my goal. So my first book is, there is God's order. He created them male and female. And then if you are blessed with having a child, that is the family. Okay. Actually, first the family is male and female. And then God chooses whom he will bless with children, because the scriptures tell us children are a blessing from the Lord. So I wanted to bring some of those truths into Mildred Papa Bird.
Well, you do a beautiful job of that. And it's just as beautiful to read and to read the pages and see the beautiful artwork as it is to read the words. Talk to me about the artwork and who did it and how it was inspired.
Yeah, the artwork, I actually contacted a firm that I wanted her to find me an artist. And I said, go to New York, go to Atlanta, go to LA, and it'll find me the best, because I knew that I wanted the best artwork in this book. And so she scoped out a few people, and I looked at the artwork. It was very beautiful, but it wasn't what I had envisioned. And I had a certain character in mind. And she ended up finding somebody in my own backyard in Wisconsin. Her name was Faith Thomas. And when I wrote the storyboard out for her and said, can you draw this? And she took her pen out and just sketched it in black and white. And I went, yeah, that's it. And then we went on to page two and page three. So it was almost like, you know, how you are in the music studio when you're giving cues to your guitarist. I mean, if you don't play guitar, you have to give cues to the guitarist. Tell them to strum this way, or the flautist comes in and say, I want do, 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 you know. And so it's almost like being a producer when you work with an artist, because I can't draw a stick figure, you know. But I believe that God gave me the right artist for this book, and it helped catapult this book into the award-winning status that it has.
Well, let's talk about the awards that it has won. I want our viewers and our listeners to know that I'm speaking with Wanda Obermeyer, and she is the author of Mama Bird, Papa Bird, which is a beautiful story and a beautifully illustrated children's book. And it's not just for children, because it's the way with all children's books. They're written for kids, but adults love them just as much.
I would agree. Yes. I would have to agree.
So talk to us about some of the awards that the book has written and how the books got nominated for the awards.
Well, first of all, I don't even remember how I came across the IBPA, the Independent Book Publishers Association. I maybe saw an ad for it in the magazine or something. So I went on their website and I thought, you know what? I'm going to join, because it looks like I can learn from this. Because I really was very new to the book publishing industry. I knew a lot about the songwriting industry, but I knew zero about the book publishing industry. So I joined IBPA, and lo and behold, they had a call for a contest for the Ben Franklin Awards. And I didn't realize this had been going on since like the early 80s. And it is considered the most prestigious award that independent book publishers can receive. So I thought, you know what? I'll throw my book in there and see what happens. And lo and behold, a few months later, I got the email saying, you have won. It's either gold or silver. We've perused 10,000 books, and yours is the winner. And I went, what?
What?
So we were flown to Austin, Texas. And we were sitting in a room. I was with my sister who moved there. And she said, girl, this is like being at the Oscars. And they were in the names, were in lights and everything. And then they called my name. And I thought, I won the silver. And I didn't win the gold. But the silver was just equally as beautiful, because it looked more like money. I mean, and gold just looked like, well, that's gold. But honestly, while I was there, a woman came up to me and tapped me on the shoulder, and she said, you know, you need to come over to the Mom's Choice table. And I'm thinking, Mom's Choice? I think I heard about that on Dr. Dobson on the radio. They're a legit organization. And I thought, what do they want with me? And I went over to the table, and she said, we're pretty sure you're a winner. We read your book. It was out on the table. And she said, we're pretty sure we want to give you the license to put our logo on your books. We're pretty sure. But so they gave me the instructions on how to go about doing that. And then I had to submit that book. And a few months later, they went, congratulations. And then they started tweeting me and started, you know, you can use their logo on your books. They sent me the pictures, the downloads. And I was just, my head was just reeling. I thought, okay, I won one award. Now I've got two in less than like 3 months of this book even being out there. And it was just so surreal. I hadn't realized the magnitude of these awards.
Yes, until, it's quite impressive.
Until this year, I had my book shown in Beijing, China. And I had them shown in Chicago at the ALA Association. And I have had literary agents from New York calling. I've had screenwriters from Sacramento, California calling. I've had people from Guadalajara and Frankfurt, Germany. And now the phone is ringing off the hook. And then, of course, Abby Mason. And I'm thinking, where is this book going? And then that word, universal, that universal truth, that's what's happening. God is blessing.
And when we say universal truth, what we mean is it is a biblical truth that has universal implications and
impact.
The gospel is for the world.
Amen.
And that's the quality of the book that we're talking about, is that the message has mass appeal. The message reaches to the far ends of the earth and appeals to everyone, because that's
Amen.
The implication of biblical truth. It appeals Amen. To the hearts of people all over the world. I want you to address the independent author, what we call the self-published author, because Wanda, you have this innovative spirit about you. You're not afraid to venture into unknown territory. And I've watched you do this for years. I've admired how you do this. You know, as an independent singer or self-published author, you kind of have to have this fearlessness, because you're it. You're the writer, you're the manager, you take your book and your artist out there to this convention or that conference, and you have to join, and you have to pay your dues, and you have to nominate, you have to put yourself out there. You can't be afraid to put your work into the public eye. And when you do, you get feedback. You might need to work a little bit more on your craft, or you might get acknowledged the way you have gotten acknowledged. Can you talk about that fearlessness and that quality that you must have as a self-published author and an independent songwriter, of being, you know, all things to all people, including yourself? You have to be the person to step out there and put your work out there in the public eye. Talk about that.
Well, if you know that God's anointing is on your work, you will be fearless. You will pursue your dream and have the perseverance that God has called us to have to press on. And I just want to say to the independent authors or singers, songwriters that are out there, like my son used to hear in his Taekwondo class, never give up. Just don't give up. Because, you know, God has a way of directing our paths. I'm going to get to that scripture a little later. But when we think we have a plan, okay, God's going to show you if that plan is going to work out or not. Okay, because all things work together for good to those who are called according to his purpose, who love God. I mean, they will work out. But if it is not meant to be, don't take the word no as rejection. Because take that as protection, okay? Think about when you were a child and your daddy on earth said to you no, because you wanted to go across the street, or you wanted to buy this or do whatever. And your earthly father said, no, don't do there. Don't do that. Don't go there. How much more does our heavenly father watch over the things we do, the comings and the goings, and says, nope. What roadblock? I mean, we get the greatest lesson from Balaam. Okay. Remember Balaam and the talking donkey? Balaam
yes.
was going to curse Israel. And God said, don't do that. And open up a donkey's mouth.
Yes.
And said, why are you beating me? I'm trying to keep you from cursing. I'm trying to protect you. And so I've always taken that story to heart and apply that in my life, that when somebody says, what are you doing, Wanda? Don't go there. I back up and I say, praise God. Thank you, Father, that you are protecting me. But when God opens up a door, and then whatever you're doing comes to fruition, and then we can say, glory to God. Thank you, Father, and give him all the praise, because we know that what he allowed us to do, He put his okie dokie on it and said, well done, my good and faithful servant. Go ahead and do this. But when he says no, when my daddy in heaven says no, I rejoice, Babby. I say, thank you, Father. You kept me from something I could not see.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So when my music for years and years didn't sell, I was like, God, there's a reason why this person in Nashville has 10 of my songs and nobody ever recorded them. Because God showed me something this year. He says, I kept them for you, for your movie, because you're doing the movie, Mama Bird, Papa Bird. And I said, wonderful. Oh, my goodness, Lord. And I don't have to ask permission from any record company to get my music back in my film.
Yes.
So as an independent, you have the power to say yes
and
no.
And the freedom.
And you have the freedom, and you're not owned by anyone in particular saying, oh, you can't do this, or you can't sing that, or you can't record here, or you have to pay a mechanical to get it back, you know. And so I said, Lord, you've protected me, even though I wanted my songs recorded by, you know, people.
But the Lord's timing is perfect.
Exactly.
Certainly so perfect. So
exactly.
With that independent artist or that self-published author who is watching, and there's just, we could do a whole hour on the, you know, the do's and the don'ts or the things that we need to do. But let's talk about preparation, because Wanda, I have observed you since the 80s and your constant.
Are you saying we're stuck in the 80s, Ms. Babby?
No, I said since the 80s. See, I have watched you progress. And that's a part of my question. I've watched you progress from the 80s to the 90s to the turn of the millennium to the 2000s. And now we're in the 2020s. We're in that decade of the 2020s. And I've watched you progress across 30 years of working. Mm-hmm. And you are still at it. You are doing exactly what, you know, your friends and your family have told you, what the Lord has told you as an independent artist and a self-published author, is don't quit, you know. But you have also been innovative enough to continue to learn. You have learned a lot. So with that in mind, with that self-published author and the independent music artist who is watching today, What advice would you have for them? They're probably wondering, hey, why, like you sent songs to Nashville that never got cut, or maybe they shopped a book that didn't get published. They've had some no's, they've had some rejection. And of course you said rejection is not just rejection, it's protection. It's God putting his wall around you for a certain season, protecting you from what you could have done or what you should have done that didn't materialize. God always knows what's best. But what other piece of advice, as far as our work ethic or our craftsmanship or our preparation, that advice that you would give that self-published author or independent artist?
I would say seek confirmation in others. I mean, there are truly people who, I think Steve Green used to sing a song about, oh, who all may, who come behind us, find us faithful. Find those faithful warriors and say, hey, listen to this song or look at this book and tell me what I have, because there is wisdom in the counsel of many. And so seek out that wisdom and seek out that confirmation. My confirmation was definitely the awards and having pastors look over this book and other Bible school teachers. And I said, hey, tell me, what do you think about this book? I did that with all my songs. I had the elders review every single lyric. I said, I do not want to misrepresent or misquote or take anything out of context. And so I had several elders and pastors and teachers say, yes, this is good. Go ahead and print it. Because I would not print it before I got their okie dokie. So I would say seek the counsel and wisdom of others. And don't be afraid to hear the word no. Because that means go back and do something over and do everything in an excellent way, you know? I mean, think about when you were in school and, you know, you maybe got a C or a B, and ask the teacher, how would I get an A? How would I get, you know, I mean, that's kind of trivial, but that's a very simple way of putting into words how to improve your craft, you know. And I also learned years ago, and I maybe learned this in Estes Park through GMA or something, but listening to songwriters who had, you know, won Grammy Awards, Dove Awards, they talked about rewriting or collaboration is a good thing too. Because you may collaborate with someone that has a stronger gift than you in one area, you know, and so a collaboration is a good thing. But don't play the Lone Ranger and think you can do this alone, because you, I mean, you need the help of brothers and sisters in Christ.
That is great. Forward. That is great advice. Don't think that you're a Lone Ranger and that you can do this alone. That is worth the price of admission right there. It takes a team, and it takes knowledge and craft. And what you said a moment ago is very important, is that great books and great songs are not just written, but they're rewritten and rewritten and rewritten until you get it perfectly and flawlessly so that it shines like the song or the book that it's meant to be. Well, yeah. Today I'm talking with Wanda Obermeyer. She is the author of Mama Bird, Papa Bird, which is a beautiful, beautiful children's book. So Wanda, I want you to tell us where we can get the book. And I did go online and I did see the book out there. Congratulations on all of that. There's a lot of talk online about Mama Bird, Papa Bird, but tell us officially where we can get it.
Well, my website is Adnaw, that's Wanda spelled backwards, A-D-N-A-W, publishing.com. And you will see all three of my titles on that website. But if you Google Mama Bird, Papa Bird, I mean, it'll come up on Barnes & Noble, Amazon, Walmart. I mean, anywhere they sell books, it will be there.
Yes, it will be there. Well, you are just the greatest. So the book is available. Mama Bird, Papa Bird is available online. And you have other books that you have published, yes?
Yes. Mama Bird, Papa Bird is actually my trademark seal from the U.S. government. So all my books will have the words Mama Bird, Papa Bird in the title sequence. But then my second book is subtitled Obey Right Away. And that needs a whole nother interview. The third book is actually going to be dropped on November 3rd, and that's called Mama Bird, Papa Bird, Tell the Truth. And that I actually handed off to Trilogy Publishing because, you know, you can only do so much as an independent. I mean, you can warehouse your books, you can, you know, print on demand, whatever. But I decided, and the Lord decided to hand it over to Trilogy Publishing. And so they accepted my third title, and they are actually going to televise that book. And they're going to make a storybook for the TBN network, the Yippie channel, Yippie streaming channel. So watch for that at about November 3rd.
Wonderful, wonderful news. And I'm just so grateful that we've had a chance to talk with you. We're just about out of time, but I want to just say thank you for being my guest today and for being on the show.
You're welcome. Thank you for inviting me.
Absolutely. And it's so good to catch up with you as well. And I do want to say to our viewers and our listeners, thanks for listening to the show today and for listening to this great conversation with my friend Wanda Obermeyer, the author of Mama Bird, Papa Bird, and the beautiful series that it's developing. I want you to visit my website at babby.com. You can email me at babby@babby.com, and you can hit me up on all the social media that's out there. And you, if you go to my website at babby.com, you can just click on the links of social media that are right there on the face of my website. Well, thank you so very much for listening to the show today and for watching the show. It's always our joy to come to you to encourage you in your faith with Jesus and to stir up your gifts that you might encourage others with what the Lord has given you. Well, it's my prayer. This is my prayer. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. That is our prayer for you and yours. And until the next time we get together, may the Lord God bless you and yours real good.